Where would you and me be if we didn't have that anchor? Life wouldn't be worth living without Jesus. I'm just going to tell you. I know lots of people out there try, but listen to me. You've got to have Christ in order to know the meaning of life. Have joy and to have peace. Stand with me, please, and turn your Bibles to the book of Hebrews chapter 10. It's 11:45. I'll have you out of here by 1:15. Secure you to death. Y'all will be asleep in 15 minutes. Hebrews chapter 10. Still hear pages rattling, so I'll give you a couple seconds to get there. Hebrews chapter 10, let's begin with verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually, make the corners thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers, once purged, should have had no more conscience of sin. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance, again, made of sins every year. For it's not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared for me, prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will, O God. And when he said, sacrifice and offerings and burnt offerings and offerings for sin, thou wouldest not, neither had this pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. By the which we are all sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. That every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. This man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Who are of the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, for after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I'll put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Praise God. Now, where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. Let's pray. Father, I love you and praise you. And Lord, now as we come, first and foremost, I ask that you give me my sins and my shortcomings and remove anything that would hinder me from being able to deliver your word this morning. Wash me, Lord, and I know I'll be clean. Lord, I just want to be a vessel that you can use for your honor and your glory. Pray as I stand before the congregation, you'll give me the words to say and bring to my mind those things I've studied. Lord, I just pray I'll preach with boldness and authority your truth this morning. And Lord, may your Holy Spirit have his way. May he deal with hearts this morning as you see fit. We know that your word promises that your word will not return void, but it will reach its intended purposes. And Lord, you know our hearts, so may your Spirit move amongst us. If there's one here today needs to be saved, never been forgiven their sins, let this be the day that they come forward and receive Christ to their heart before it's too late. Have your way in this service. May everything we say and do bring honor and glory to you. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Boy, it sounds like everybody's got the sniffles this morning, huh?
I know I do.
I want to speak to you about a new and a living way this morning. As I was studying this week, I went back to Exodus. And of course, it was talking about the tabernacle. And if you've ever been in seminary or Bible college, I'm going to tell you, you're going to learn about the tabernacle. And let me just say this. You know, when I first started Bible college and then seminary, I'll be honest, I thought, oh, that's going to be boring. Got to learn what all that means. You know what it all means? It means Jesus is what it means. Every bit of the tabernacle is a picture of Christ. Every article in the tabernacle pictures Christ. Kind of like, I think it was Brother Richard said that in the old, the new is concealed, and in the new, the old is revealed. By the way, maybe I might have paid attention. Wasn't that Augustine preacher? Wasn't that Augustine that made that statement? I think it was Augustine. I could be wrong, but I think I paid enough attention to know that it was. But that's exactly right. You see, in the Old Testament, items and people that may not have been really clear in the New Testament are made, or in the Old Testament are made clear in the New Testament. For example, remember when we talked about the brazen serpent in Numbers? If you'll go to John chapter 3, it talks about Christ being lifted up as that serpent in the wilderness. Picture of Jesus, what He did for us. Same thing, remember that manna? Remember the people just hated that manna. They loathed it. They were just tired of it. But that manna was Christ. He's the bread of life. You see where I'm going? Now, I want to talk to you about the veil for a little bit. You know, there's a couple things about the veil. In fact, don't take my word for it. Just turn over real quick to Exodus chapter 26. Real quick, I'll make a couple comments and we'll get back to our text. I want to talk to you about the veil because it's going to coincide with Hebrew. Exodus 26. Exodus 26, and look at verse 31. The Word of God says this, "Thou shalt make a veil of blue and purple and scarlet." Let me stop right there and say that those three colors represent something in the veil. You say they represent Christ. How do I know? Well, blue reminds us where the Lord come from, heaven. Amen. I'll go with scarlet next. I'll say purple for last. You see, scarlet represents blood. And the Lord Jesus Christ was the Lamb of God that was what? Sacrificed to atone for our sin. The scarlet represents the blood. And that's why Jesus came into the world to give His life a ransom for many, for us. And then finally, that purple. Now, purple's not my favorite color, but I'm going to tell you this about purple. It is royalty. And Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. No one's ever going to kick Him off His throne. He's always going to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But listen, to make purple, I found this out when I was in kindergarten. We used to blend red and blue. And you know what you come up when you blend red, blue? Purple. But it's perfectly blended. Both colors have to be perfectly blended. And what that means is Christ is perfectly blended because He is not only God, but He is man. Amen? That's good stuff. So that's what He's talking about with the colors. But notice what it says, and fine twined linen. Notice it was pure that they made the veil out of. Pure. And by the way, Jesus was perfect. He was sinless. He was pure. Had people, little kids ask me all the time, what color is God? He's pure. Amen? He's pure. And then notice it said, fine twine linen of cunning work. In other words, it was like no other material ever made. In other words, there's nothing like it. I want you to understand, there's nothing like Jesus. If you've ever been to Jesus and you've received Him as your Savior, you'll understand there ain't nothing like Him in the world. And then notice it says here, with cherubim shall it be made. Now, when did we hear about cherubim? Remember in Genesis chapter 3, after Eve and Adam fell in the garden, the Lord put some cherubims on the outside of the Garden of Eden to keep man from going to the tree of knowledge. Now, those cherubims were what was there that He placed there. But they also are protectors of God's holiness. And they put those cherubims on that veil in the tabernacle to remind men that God is holy and that man is a sinner. And there's boundaries with God. You see, you and I cannot ever go into the presence of God with our sins. Because He's holy, He's just, and He's righteous. You know what's going to happen if you try to approach His holiness without the blood of Jesus? You're going to face judgment and death. So that's what the cherubims were there to remind the priest. You see, the priest could only go so far. They ministered daily, the Bible says. Daily in the tabernacle, but they could only go beyond the veil once a year. And believe me, I'm sure because they were sticklers, they knew if God said, you go anywhere near that veil and go behind it, the Holy of Holies, you're going to die. Believe me, they avoided that place like the plague. Because if they bumped, if they fell in, curtain. Now, let's go back to our text. He says, for the law having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the corners thereunto perfect. And what the writer of Hebrews, and by the way, you've heard me tell you, I believe the writer of Hebrews is the Apostle Paul. It's just the language that he always used. That's why I think so. Does it clearly say no? There's scholars out there that'll argue and say, oh, you better not say it's Paul. It's Paul. Amen. There's a teacher. You know, he agrees, so I must be halfway right. Anyways, notice it said that the law that was given could never, ever, ever atone for sin. Couldn't. Now, let me tell you, even though once a year on the Day of Atonement, the high priest would go and he would offer a sacrifice for the nation, for the people of Israel, and he would go beyond the veil, and he would take that blood and put it on the mercy seat, and God would, what? Accept that? Once. For the people. But it had to be repeated yearly. But only once could you go behind the veil. Now listen to me. The blood of animals has never, ever been able to atone for our sins. Understand. Can't atone for sin. Had it been able to, guess what? They wouldn't have been in the tabernacle daily ministering over and over again. You know, when Jesus died to atone for our sins, He was the Lamb of God. Guess what happened? When He was done once and for all, He sat on the right-hand throne of God. Why? Because it was finished. It was done. Once and for all. But let me just say something about blood. It's not my way. It's not your way. But it was God's way. You see, that's what God required. And He required a sacrifice of blood. There are many out there trying to get to God without blood. I'm here to tell you they're headed to hell. There's only one way you and I will ever get to heaven, and that is through what? The blood of Jesus Christ by being born again. Thank God for the cross. Listen, you want to go to heaven, you must be washed by the blood, His blood. And it's His blood, the Lamb of God's blood, that can redeem us. Not no bull, not no goat, but His blood. And let me tell you about the blood of Jesus for a second. The thing about the Lord's blood is once it has been applied, we don't have to worry about our sins ever again. You understand that this morning? Understand what I'm saying? You see, He talked about remembering. You see, when it was bulls goats, all those other things offered, sacrifices to atone for the sins of the people. The problem with that is they constantly were reminded of their sin. But you see, something else took place on the Day of Atonement that sometimes we don't think about or we don't bring out enough. And that is, not only did the priest get to go behind the veil to the Holy of Holies and offer the sacrifice for the sins of the people, but they would also get an old goat called a scapegoat, and they would put their hands on that goat, and they would place, figuratively, the sins of the people on that goat, and then that goat, being a scapegoat, would be led out of the city into the wilderness to be lost. You know why? So that those sins couldn't be remembered again. Now that's some good stuff. I'm thankful because of the blood of Jesus, once and for all, His sacrifice atoned for my sin. And not only did it atone for my sin, it atoned for yours. But no longer do we have to worry about our sins ever being brought up again. As far as the east is from the west, our sins are to be remembered no more. Because Christ was the Lamb that was offered and sacrificed for our sins on Calvary. And He was also that scapegoat led out into the wilderness to be lost. Once and for all, His death tore that veil. Remember, all four Gospels tell us that when Christ gave up the ghost, He died on the cross to atone for the sins of the world, the Bible says that that veil was torn too. And what that did, you see, the veil before was a wall that separated us from God. Man could never get to God. Why? Because we were sinners. He was holy. He was righteous. In fact, I think it was Isaiah that said, our iniquities have separated us from God. And our sins has hid His face from us. So we couldn't just go in when we wanted to. We didn't have access to God, but through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, guess what? Now we have access. And that high priest that used to offer sacrifices once a year has become the Lord Jesus Christ, our living high priest. And praise God, I'm glad He's there ministering for this Oak Center. Amen. I'm thankful. Now let's talk about the temple just for a minute. I'll get into it, I promise. There's some good stuff here. This could be a 2 or 3-parter. There's a lot of stuff here. But the veil of the temple, tabernacle. The veil of the tabernacle was 60 feet high. It was 30 feet wide. They said Josephus, he's a Jewish historian, literally said it took 300 priests, Brother Ciro, to move the thing. And he also said that it took 2 teams of oxen to be able to rip it. But God in His marvelous power did it for us. Man had nothing to do with it. Aren't you thankful? Man has nothing to do with salvation. Oh, man tries. Man wants to earn heaven. Man wants to do good. Man wants to get to heaven in his own merits. But listen to me. Salvation has been provided for from God. And it's His way or no way. Amen. Now, I know that you'll go out there and you'll find some say, oh, it doesn't matter what way. You can get there any way you want as long as you're sincere. They're lying to you and you're going to hell if you believe that nonsense. You're going to have to go God's way. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man can come to the Father except by me. Okay? Now, notice what it says. But in those sacrifices, verse 3, there is a remembrance made again of sins every year. It wasn't enough. Blood of bulls, goats. Wasn't enough. because it could never do away with remembering those things. You see, the problem is this. We can offer all kinds of sacrifices. We can make all kinds of resolutions and pledges to God. We're going to do better. We're going to do that. We're going to do this. But the point is, one, we're never going to be able to keep it. And two, even if we think that it's good enough and acceptable to God, we're always going to continually remember those things. Just how it is. But through the blood of Jesus, we don't remember those sins because we have been forgiven once and for all. Amen. And I'm going to go ahead and say it. If you are having problems with remembering your sin, you know what your problem is? You just hadn't had enough faith and left it at God's altar. That's on you. Yes, the devil's going to come against you and say, see, how can you be saved? You remember what you did? Yes, he's an accuser of the brethren. Yes, he'll try to bring up those sins, but if you have truly been redeemed, you're not to remember or dwell on those things because it's under the blood. It's under the blood. My Lord, if I remembered everything I did, I'm just thankful because I've been forgiven and so have you. If you've trusted Jesus and been washed in the blood. Again, notice what it says. In remembrance again made of sins every year. For it's not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Can't be done. But notice, wherefore when he cometh into the world, talking about Christ, he says, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. And burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. He came for one reason, to do the will of the Father, and that was to go and offer himself as a sacrifice to redeem us from the slave market of sin and atone for those sins so that you and I could have reconciliation to God. That's why he came. And he did it gladly. You know, the Jews used to, and I hate to even bring up the subject of slavery, but Jews owned other Jews. Hebrews. But what they would do when it would come the year of Jubilee, you know what they would do? They would release their slaves. That was what Scripture taught them to do, the law. And they would turn them loose, but there were those slaves that loved their masters. They loved their masters so much that they didn't even want to be released. They wanted to stay with that master. And when that would happen, what they would do is they would pierce their ear. And that would signify that they were slaves forever to the master. I'll get in trouble. I know. I stay in trouble. But those of you that like earbobs in your ears, you're saying you're a slave. Now, I am a servant. The Most High. And I serve Him gladly. You can call me a slave if you want to, but I serve Him. Not because I have to, because I want to, because of what He did for me. Okay? Now, again, you say, well, why'd you bring up the slaves? Because Jesus loved the Father so much that He was willing to come into the world and identify himself as one with the Father. Just as a slave would identify himself as one with the master that owned. That's my point. That's my point. Now, the Bible says, and when he said sacrifice and offerings, burnt offerings, offerings for sin, thou wouldest not, neither had pleasure therein, which are offered by the law, then said, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. What was the first? The law and the sacrificial system that God gave the children of Israel at that time. That's what he took away. Why? Because it could never atone for sin. They had to do it continually. But then God sent His Son into the world. You see, the old covenant was done away with, and now comes the new covenant. Praise the Lord for the new one. Because now it's not sacrifices. Now it's grace. Through simple, childlike faith. When I say faith, I mean trust. You see, Jesus once and for all did it. Went to the cross, atoned for our sins. There's nothing to be offered again. One and done. And it's yours and mine just for the acceptance. Just for the acceptance. I pray everybody here has accepted His sacrifice. If not, you need to accept it. Because if you don't, you're going to find out any other thing that you try to do to atone for your sins isn't going to work. Now, notice what it says. By which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. How many times? A dozen times? 100 times? Once! How many times did He die on the cross? Once! How many times can you be saved? Once! Once! And by the way, when you're saved forever. It takes. Amen? You'll ever call on the Lord, you'll find out it takes. Folks that have problems saying, oh, I don't know if I'm saved or not, I worry about you. Because what you're saying is you have a lack of faith. If you're wondering. I'm going to go ahead and tell you, since I've been saved, and I'll just use me as an example, and I know I can use others if I wanted to, but I'll use me. Since I've been saved, I don't ever wonder if I'm saved or not. Because I know I'm saved. How do you know? Because God's Spirit indwelt. And the Spirit of God says, yep, you're mine. May want to slap you sometimes, but you're mine. Amen? Notice what He says. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, after He had offered one sacrifice for sins forever. Did y'all get that? Forever. How long is forever? Forever. Amen. Sat down on the right hand of God from henceforth expecting till His enemies be made His footstool. For by one offering He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. By the way, when you get saved, He sanctifies you. He sets you apart for His service. Now, listen to me. When it comes to sanctification, I'm still a work in progress. How about you? One of these days, we're all going to be fully sanctified. We're going to be called up to glory together. But He does set us apart because He knows us and we know Him. Real quick. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us that after He had said before, oh, I'm glad for the Spirit of God. Amen. Notice it said, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I'll put my laws into their hearts and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. How many of you believe God? If God says that He's forgotten your sins, you've been forgiven, then you can take Him at His word. I'm a sinner saved by grace. I tell the Lord every single day, sometimes I have wrong thoughts. Sometimes I think things I shouldn't. Every one of us have the same issue. Don't sit there, though, not me, liar. The Bible says, if we say we have no sin, we've deceived ourselves. And made who a liar? God. God don't lie, y'all. Listen to me. But this one thing I know. I'm not afraid to face my God. Not because, boy, if it was up to me, all those things I did that I've been forgiven for, and I had to face God, Him remembering those things, I would be shaking in my boots. But because of Jesus and His sacrifice, my sins have been forgiven and they're never going to be brought up. So I don't fear facing my Heavenly Father. Because when He sees me and He sees you, He doesn't see our righteousness or our unrighteousness. He sees the righteousness of His Son. So don't be afraid if you're saved to face God. And that's another clue that somebody ain't right with God or they're not saved when they dread facing God. They're scared to face Him. Now, I was scared to face Him when I was a lost man. There were many times I couldn't go to sleep at night. I didn't want to go to sleep. I was afraid I wouldn't wake up. Because I knew I wasn't ready. I knew I wasn't ready to meet God. But when I finally met the Lord and He saved me, I've slept like a baby ever since. And if I die in my sleep, and by the way, that wouldn't be a bad way to go, I have the assurance of God's Word, I'll wake up in His presence. Good enough, right? Notice. Now, for remission of these is, and yes, remission. You've heard me say remission means forgiveness. It does. But also in the Greek, it means forgetting. Forgetting. What's He forgetting? Look at what it says. Now, for remission of these is, there's no more offering for sin. When you're able to remember those sins, there's no more offering for that sin. But praise God, He doesn't remember. Neither should you. You've been forgiven. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Listen, when the veil of the temple was rent in two, access to God was given by the death of Jesus Christ. We now can come boldly to His throne of grace and mercy. We don't have to worry about not being able to approach Him. You see, it was a wall of partition. But Jesus, in His sacrifice, broke that wall of partition down forever. Now you and I have direct access to God. Our sin separated us from God. But through the sacrifice of Jesus, now you and I have direct access. That ought to light you up. Amen? And then He said, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by what? The blood of a bull? Nope. Blood of an old goat? Nope. But the blood of Jesus! His sacrifice! By a new. What's new? New covenant. Covenant of grace. And living way. What's the living way? We have a new high priest, folks. We don't have one that's constantly ministering in the tabernacle. No. This high priest, once and for all, sacrificed himself and is now at the right hand of God the Father, sitting down in heaven next to Him. But listen to me. He's our high priest. He goes before the Father, ministering on our behalf. And then finally, which He has consecrated for us. Through what? The veil. That is to say, His flesh. Folks, Jesus is the veil. He's the veil. Say what? You might want to study a little bit about the tabernacle. It's not boring. I'm glad I halfway paid attention. It's good stuff. We got a preacher in our work, Brother Bobby Sparks. And he's wrote several books on the tabernacle. In fact, one year at the ABA, he set up a scale model of it. I mean, I say scale. It's pretty good size. And he had, he made this by hand himself. It was something to see. And I tell you what, if you ever met Brother Bobby, he pastors a church in Texas. It's outside Sherman somewhere. I can't remember exactly what the little place is, but Calvary Baptist Church is where he pastors. But I was going to say, if you get anywhere near him, he's going to check you out and see what you know about the tabernacle. That's just just how he is. He wants to know what you know. He wants to know if you paid attention. Thank God I paid some attention. Amen. Because, hey, what is this for? Tell me about the veil. Pop quiz. I thought I was done with that stuff. Anyways, this is my point. I'll close with this. God has done away with the oath. Thank God there isn't work. There's nothing man has to do to earn salvation. Why? Because he's given us a better way. A new covenant, if you will, of grace, where Jesus did everything that was needed for you and I so that we could approach God and have access to God and be reconciled to God through his sacrifice and the blood he shed on the cross. Now, I can only answer for me. I took advantage of it years ago. How about you? Do you know that you know this morning? Because I'm here to tell you, you'll not get to heaven without the blood of the Lamb. And Jesus is that Lamb that came to provide atonement for our sin. Once and for all, he made a sacrifice. Do you understand that? Have you appropriated that in your life and in your heart? If not, take advantage of it this morning. Give your heart to Jesus. You say, brother, I think I got plenty of time. Yeah? There's a lot of people think that. But the sad thing is we're not guaranteed tomorrow. You don't know when you're going to draw that last breath. Appointed unto man wants to die. After this, the judgment. You're going to stand before God. And you know what's going to matter when you stand before him? Not how good you were, how great you were, how famous you were, how much money you were, how educated you were. That's not going to matter. What's going to matter is what did you do with this son, Jesus? That's what's going to matter. Did you receive him or did you reject him? Let me just say one thing about the church. Church, we have a responsibility to preach and teach blood. There are a lot of churches out there that don't want to hear it. They won't preach it. They won't teach it. They call it a bloody gospel, but I want you to understand something. There is no gospel without the blood. There is no gospel. Don't sit there and listen to any of that nonsense. That's hooey-fooey. Listen. Jesus came. You've read the Gospels. You've read the passages of his crucifixion. Listen, words cannot even describe his awful suffering. But you know, that suffering that he endured was because he loved you and me. And sinner friend, he loves you right now. You say, but I'm pretty wicked, preacher. I've done a lot of things. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And by the way, don't try to emulate the life of Christ. I know some people trying to emulate the life of Christ. You know, oh, I'll just live like Jesus. I'll be okay with God. Can I tell you something? First and foremost, I'll tell you what that'll lead you to. Hell. You see, it's Jesus that went to the cross that lived a perfect sinless life. You and I can't ever come close to that. And I'll get in trouble for what I'm about to say, but listen to what I say so you don't get it mixed up. Oh, that pastor's a heretic. But listen to me. It's not the life of Christ that saves us. It's his death on the cross. The blood he shed. That's what saves us. There's nobody capable of living like Jesus. That's why he said, all of sin comes short of the glory of God. Listen, Jesus is the glory of God. And we are sinners and we ain't going to come close to it. Get that through your head this morning. If you don't know him, he'll save you. Yeah. That's why he came to the world. And life is very short, so please take advantage while you have breath. Because we don't know what a day is going to bring forth. Maybe you're here. All right, we're starting a new year. We don't know what the year holds. Only God controls the future. My prayer is He'll come back this year. Put an end to this nonsense. Take us all home. But He may not. Maybe you're here and you follow the Lord, but you're kind of like Peter. Sometimes you've warmed yourself by the enemy's fire. There's times you've followed afar off. We've all been there. Why not, as we begin the new year, say, Lord, best that I know how, I'm going to do my best to serve You even better. Be more obedient and more faithful. Lord, just give me strength. When temptation comes knocking, and by the way, not a sin to be tempted, it's when you give in to that sin. Jesus was tempted. And believe me, the old devil knows exactly which buttons to push, doesn't he? He knows what temptation to put in front of him. He wants to see you and me fall. That way he can go before God and say, that's yours. Listen to me. Ask the Lord to help you grow stronger in your walk. Pray for your church. It'll be a stronger church. But everybody will be more obedient and faithful and servant here at Lone Mountain. Foremost, if you're here today, I'm going to tell my voice, and you don't know Jesus, you're fixing to have an invitation, that's your opportunity to come and call upon the name of the Lord. Because, praise God, there is a better way. And Jesus is that way.